It was about a quarter century ago that I was sitting in a service in Boulder, Colorado, listening to a speaker that I don't remember anything about. But I remember the day because I remember, and I remember the message because of a story he told. I might have mentioned this before to some of you. He told a story of a little boy sitting at the feet of his grandpa. And his grandpa was sitting there silently reading his Bible when the boy stopped what he was doing, kind of moved over to his grandpa's chair, sitting at the foot of the chair, and he reached up to it for his grandpa's hand, and he took that old, crinkly old hand, and he put it on his head, on his own head. And he said, "Grandpa, please pray for me." Now, I don't remember the context in which the story was told. I don't remember the scripture that was being taught. I don't even remember the point of the message, to be honest with you. But something about this image grabbed hold of me very, very deep in my soul. For I was at a point in my life when I was grappling with pain and some internal dissonance that was absolutely tearing me all apart. And I longed for someone, anyone, to pray for me. And that longing poured out of me in a flood of tears and uncontrollable sobbing that day. Much to my surprise, and to the surprise of those around me. And for 20 minutes, I could not stop, even after the message was done, even after the service was over, even after other people were walking out. They would say, what can we do for your brother? I said, I don't know. I don't know why I'm crying. So deep was my need for prayer. And it just gushed out without my even knowing it. In a few moments, we're going to take some time to pray. Not the typical kind of church prayer, but where we, you know, stand up here and I pray and you all kind of wait till I'm done. But rather a time when you will have the opportunity to have an elder or the elder's wife anoint you with oil and pray for you for the healing of your body or your soul or both. We do this because the scriptures tell us that the prayers of a righteous man or woman of God are powerful and effective. They can bring healing to your soul and to our body in accordance with the will of God. But before we go to prayer, I want you to know that someone else is praying for you as well. Today, right now, there is someone who is praying for you. Someone whose righteousness exceeds that of any of the elders that you saw handing out communion, exceeds the righteousness of the one standing here in front of you by a long margin. This is someone who has open access to the Father. You know, people will say to me sometimes, because I'm a pastor, they say, "Well, yeah, I'll let you pray for me. You have kind of a direct line to God." It's like, no, it's no more direct than anybody else. Except this one. This person who's praying for you, in fact, does have a direct line to the Father. In fact, we're told he sits at his right hand. And as he sits there, he is lobbying, reasoning, pleading our case, interceding for you and for me at the throne of God. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Romans 8, that great emancipation proclamation of the scriptures, which begins with the declaration that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that mockingly asks the question, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Ha! No, is the answer. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It It's in this manifesto of our freedom in Christ that we read verse 34. Who is it that condemns us? It is our Messiah, Christ Jesus, who died and moreover was raised from the dead and is now at the right hand of God interceding for us, making our case. With each accusation that the accuser of our soul hurls at us, the resurrected Christ, enthroned at his Father's side, responds with, "I died for that." That accusation, my blood covered that. By my stripes, I healed that. My kingdom come, my will be done in the life of anyone who has said yes to me. If we have said yes to Jesus' invitation to life, then we have an advocate in heaven who is continually declaring our rights and our benefits as citizens of the kingdom of God. The writer of Hebrews tells us, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. It is He, 1 John 2:2 tells us, who is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In John 17, he says, I am praying for them. He's talking to his Father. He's praying at that moment. He's praying in John 17. We've talked about this before. And he says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world and for those whom, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I am praying for the church. Friend, if you have said yes to Jesus, he is praying for you. He has other prayers for the world. He prays that they will respond to his invitation. But here in John chapter 17, he is praying for his church. He's praying for you. And if you think that this prayer in John 17 is just for the disciples who happen to be at the room at the time when he's making that prayer, then in verse 20 he makes it clear. I do not ask for these only who are here with me, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, friends. We have believed through the word of the apostles and those who listened and passed that message on through the ages. That's everyone who has ever said yes to Jesus. Jesus is praying for you. He is praying, according to John 17, he's praying for God's strength in you. He's praying for your union. Your union with your spouse, if you have one. He's praying. Do you know Jesus is praying for your marriage? Do you know that? He's praying that we would be one as he and the Father are one. He prays for your relationship with your spouse. He prays for your relationship with your friends, your believing friends especially. He prays for the relationships within the body of Christ. He desires that his love flow through us and to us through each other. And he prays for that. That we have recorded. And he's praying for your protection from the evil one, from his schemes to discourage you and to defeat you. He's praying against the evil one's desire to tempt you and to beat you down. He prays against his efforts to break your faith and to shipwreck your soul. Jesus is praying for you. And you know what? Even if you fall down, even if you fail and sin, Jesus still prays for you. 1 John 2:2, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Even if we sin, even if we fail, Jesus continues to pray for us. He is Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, perhaps you've heard of some of these others, you know, that have these names, these monikers. Ivan the Terrible, you know, Catherine the Great, Richard the Lionheart, Leopold the Able. You know what? Morons. All of them, amateurs. When compared to Jesus, Messiah, the righteous, there is only one who is righteous. It is Jesus. And it is this Jesus, it is the righteous one, who prays for you by name. And it is his Holy Spirit who is continually taking to himself the groanings of your heart and carrying them to the Father in heaven. You know what those are. The griefs and sorrows that are so deep, we have no words. In our emotions, we just cry out to God. Again, from Romans 8. "For the Spirit helps us. We are very weak, but the Spirit helps us with our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we should. Sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes we don't know God's will. We don't know how to pray as we should. In a few minutes, we're going to be praying for healing. But to be honest, sometimes we don't know. We know that God desires to heal. We just don't know when God will bring that healing. And so we pray in accordance with his will. We don't know how to pray as we should, but we still pray. And it is the Spirit himself who speaks to God for us. He begs God for us, speaking to him with feelings too deep for words. Verse 27 says, "God already knows our deepest thoughts. He knows those groanings, and he understands what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit speaks for his people in the ways that agree with what God desires." The Spirit takes our ignorant prayers, our longings, our don't know prayers, and he takes them and he lifts them up and he brings them into the midst of God's will for us, so that God might perform those things that he is going to perform, so that we might pray the will of God, his will, his way. We don't always know his will, his way, but the Spirit of God does. And if we will approach the Spirit, if we approach God in our prayers with an openness that says, "Lord, this is what I think, but I could be wrong. This is what I pray, and I hope that this is your will. I know your will is to bring wholeness and healing." The song at the beginning of the service, he desires all of us to be free and whole. And that ultimately for every believer, that will be true. That will come to light. Our faith will be made sight, and we will know perfect health, perfect freedom in Christ. That holds true for us here in this country. That holds true for a believer in Afghanistan or in Ukraine or in Syria or in China or in places where there is little to no freedom politically. But it still holds true. It holds true for places that have little health care, that God still desires and still promises and still brings health and strength. We pray the will of God. And when we don't know the will of God, then we go to the Spirit with feelings. And even if we don't know how to speak those feelings, how to define those feelings, the Spirit of God still knows them. He understands our deepest thoughts. He knows the longings of our heart. We don't have to wait until we know what to pray to go to pray. For Jesus is praying for you. We are joining him in what he is already doing. I'm going to ask the elders to take their positions around the sanctuary here. To begin to prepare for our prayer time. And I want you to know that there's already one praying before we ever say a word. From the moment you said yes to Jesus, your name has been on his lips. He is speaking to his Father, our Father, about you. On your best days and on your worst. In your most spiritual moments and in your most vile moments, he is still your advocate. In your waking hours and as you sleep, Jesus prays for you. Jesus remembers you. Jesus intercedes for you. And he invites us to do the same for each other. For as James wrote in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So we're going to join Jesus in his prayers this morning. And if you have never said yes to Jesus' invitation and experienced having the Lord of the universe pray for you, you can today. For saying yes to Jesus simply means agreeing with him. Saying yes to Jesus means that you agree, that you are like a sheep without a shepherd, that you've gone your own way, you're trying to find life without God. That you agree, yeah, that's kind of where I am. And it means that we agree that this was not God's plan and design. He didn't set us up as sheep without a shepherd to let us wander about, but that he desired to shepherd us, to hold us close, to care for us, and to lead us. That we agree that life apart from him is truly death. So many are the walking dead, wandering around with no life in them, just a heart beating and breath in their lungs. Saying yes to Jesus means that we agree with him that He is our only hope in this life and the next. That in His death, it is by His death that we are forgiven for our rebellion and our sin, our walking apart from God. It is by His death that we are forgiven, and it is through His resurrection that we are given new life. It is in His resurrection that we are made free from slavery to this world and to sin itself. By the power of His resurrection, we are raised to life with Him, and we agree that that is needed. So He invites you now to agree, to say yes and enter into life. He's been waiting for your yes for years. And He has longed to pray this very first prayer with you to this very day. Do you want to join Him in that prayer? Where you are, you can say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I agree that I am walking outside of Your will and design, and that this is sin against You. I agree that my only hope for freedom from this burden of sin and the brokenness that it brings into my life is found in You, in Your death and in Your resurrection. By Your grace and by Your sacrifice, please forgive me my sin and my rebellion. Heal me and make me a new creation. Make me new again. Today I say yes to Your invitation to life. And I gladly make You the ruler and king of my life. I am Yours. If you said yes to Jesus today, you may well have felt a wash flood over you. I don't know how else to describe the feeling. Just know that is the pleasure of Christ and the presence of His Holy Spirit washing over you, cleansing you. And from this moment on, your name is lovingly on the lips of Jesus. He will lift you this very moment as a holy vessel before God the Father. No matter what your past, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you have been made holy before God. If you've done that today, this is a momentous day, so tell somebody. Tell an elder, or when you ask for prayer today, or tell the person you came with, or tell me after the service, or tell someone today that you said yes to Jesus, and that Jesus made you new. Now let's join Jesus in praying for one another. If you would like someone to join with Jesus in praying for you, now is the time. If you're not going to have, come and ask for prayer, then I ask that you join in prayer where you are. You can pray. You can listen to the music and worship. You can meditate on the words of Scripture that we put up earlier, and maybe we can put a few of those Scriptures up on the screen as we go through. But for a little while, and there are many elders up here, so that you can, if there's a particular one you want to go to, that's fine. Otherwise, you can scatter. There are five different places to go. But let's take some time now. I'm going to begin by simply giving a general prayer, and then as the music plays, just feel free to go to an elder and ask for prayer. Let's pray together. Precious Father, we come to you this morning knowing that our prayers are part of our worship. They demonstrate, perhaps more than anything else we've done today, our total dependence on you, O God. Our reliance upon you and our faith in you. We pray that you would hear the prayers of your people today, and that as they join in with the prayers of Christ Jesus, our Lord, for us. Fulfill your sovereign will in everything we ask. May it be your will and your way to bring healing and wholeness to your people until the last day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.